نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد مهد الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله الفضل مرة اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته أهل بيته أجمعين.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Today, this blessed spiritual gathering, majlis, with Allah's grace, Allah's blessings, with the blessings of our pious predecessors, our religious elders, and we are in the month of Rajab. Rajab has started. It's the first week of Rajab. So Allah Ta'ala, in this blessed month, has given us the great honor on the night of Jummah that we can initiate and start with the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with regards to this month, there are statements present that Allah's Nabi, in the beginning of this month, he said a dua, a supplication, that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. So this is the first good piece of good news with this dua. This is the good news that we've received from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ramadan is very close. You don't need to wait too many days for the barakat. The lovers of Allah, the good news was given to them. Those people whose hearts are big, they are full of love. Not for those people who are miserly, narrow-minded. Oh, it's only a few days left of Ramadan. Oh, it's getting too close. Those people who are desperate, when Ramadan has left, then they start to prepare for the next Ramadan, and they spend the rest of the year remembering Ramadan. And Rasulullah ﷺ knew those lovers, so he prepared for them this with this dua that, don't worry, you are near to Ramadan and the barakat are about to return. Just some weeks are left. What are 8 weeks? Nothing. 8 weeks, you could go on holiday to Pakistan and spend that time. That's how quickly it will pass. So very close it has come. So this is so blessed, this month, that the fragrance of this month, you can start to feel the fragrance of this month. And those people who have love, they will start to smell that fragrance of Ramadan in advance. But you know, Islam is a practical religion. It's not just about talking. Just you talk and you say, I'm a lover and I'm a wali Allah, just by talking and you get to Medina. This is not the case. This is a deen, a religion of amal, of practice. So where Rasulullah has given the good news, he also has given a great message alongside that. That Ramadan, you will come into your destiny soon, but it is a very great month, Ramadan. It is a very great month, Ramadan. So the dua, barik lana, the Prophet said in this dua, that Rajab has arrived, Shaban is going to be after Rajab, and where do we need to arrive to? To Ramadan. So the Prophet ﷺ said that it's such a great month, Ramadan, that start working now. Don't waste this. Don't waste Ramadan. Such a great message we can't understand about this month for the Ummah, that we cannot imagine the preparation Ramadan 2 months in advance. Alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ has given us the hint. And he's also told us that Ramadan, if you want to attain Ramadan, then what do you need to do? Look here, what a beautiful point he said. What do you need to do? What's the preparation? How can you attain Ramadan? How can you acquire Ramadan? What is the amal you need to do? How can you make your Ramadan beautiful? Yeah. Allahumma barik lana. That if you, in Rajab and in Shaban, if you attain Allah's blessings, then you will be successful in Ramadan. Barik lana. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, barik lana. So when will you be successful? That if in Rajab, during Rajab and during Shaban, if you attain and acquire Allah Ta'ala's barakat, blessings, then you will attain success in Ramadan, otherwise you won't get nothing. So this is the dua that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. So what do we need to do? What's the task we need to implement in Rajab and Shaban? What do we need to do to be successful in Ramadan? Get the barakat. Nothing else. Just get the barakat. We need Allah Ta'ala's barakat. Okay, so how do we get these barakat? Allah Ta'ala's barakat. Let's go to the store and say, please give me some barakat. I need some blessings for Ramadan. Will you be able to purchase this from any shop? Where will you get the blessings of Ramadan? What do we need only? What are we going to be getting ready for Ramadan? That we, during Rajab and Shaban, we need to make these 2 months blessed. That's it. This is the message, isn't it? This is the message that the Prophet ﷺ gave to us. So remember this dua. When a person recites a dua, supplication, then Allah accepts that dua. But in the dua, there's a message that this dunya is a place of means. You need to physically implement. Allah says, I will accept your dua. Allah Ta'ala, give me a son. Allah, give me a son. Allah, give me a son. But son is not coming. Why? Dua is accepted. But now do something. You haven't got married. You haven't got a wife. Allah, give me a beautiful son. Every day you're doing the dua. But without the wife, khair. Obviously, Allah is the Malik. He is the controller. He can do what he wants. But Allah's made this dunya. And this is a place where you have to utilize the means, the resources. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm going to get married and have a wife. And your dua is accepted, and maybe you have a chance you will have a son, if Allah Ta'ala wills. So this is what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, that how will barakah come? Do the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. Great dua, servants of Allah, not just dua, but attain the barakat of these months. How do you attain the barakat? Do the action that will earn the blessings. In other words, in Rajab and in Shaban, we need to do such actions that in these 2 months, it can make these 2 months blessed. We need to do actions like that. Yes, from music and singing and instruments, will barakah come? Without parda, will barakat come? By shaving or trimming the beard, will barakat come? By leaving salah, will barakat come? By doing haram actions, will barakat come in these 2 months? We're just doing dua. Allah, make these months blessed for me and my brothers. What we need to do is we need to make these months blessed by doing blessed actions. Blessed actions. Do amal. Okay. So how will blessings come? How will blessings come? We need barakat. How will they come? Who gives the blessings? Allah Ta'ala gives blessings and mercies. Allah will give the blessings and the mercies, isn't it? And the goodness. So if you want to attain barakat from Allah, barakat come at that time when you do actions that please Allah. Yes, those actions that earn Allah's pleasure, those actions that earn Allah's happiness, then after that barakat and blessings will come. If you pray salah, blessings will come, alhamdulillah, to your life. If you do dhikrullah, then barakat will come, alhamdulillah. If you recite the Quran, then blessings will come, alhamdulillah. Very easy, simple formula. So the order is this, that during these 2 months, Rajab, Shaban, what do you need to do is that do all those actions, good deed, pious deeds, that through them, barakat come. And when does barakat disappear? When you do actions that earn Allah's displeasure. That's when blessings disappear. If you do actions to make Allah unhappy, then blessings will leave you. From your home they will go, from your wife and children they will go. the blessings. So in these months, if you do dirty, impure actions, and you don't leave those actions, then your Rajab is lost, and your Shaban will be lost. That's it. You finish the situation. So then, 2 months have gone, and then the real month to come, Ramadan, that will also be lost. So you'll keep on keeping the fast, but there'll be no blessings, because today we need to acquire blessings. Barakah will run from now until Ramadan. Say Subhanallah. That's why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the blessings you will acquire today by doing good actions until Ramadan, that will last. Today, when you see the moon of Rajab, what we need to do is that we need to totally change our lives. Yes, for a short period of time, if you can't do anything, then at least until Ramadan, don't touch your bed, don't trim it, close the TV, close the music and singing, correct your appearances, correct your circumstances, correct your schedule, pray Salah in Jama'ah and congregation, start reciting the Quran. All of this is there. Why? Because Rajab has arrived, and now the situation is that the next month, and we won't acquire Ramadan, we will need to change ourselves. So every person who has understanding should understand that I can't carry on with the same routine before this month. It's got to be a different routine now. It's got to be a different routine now. Then we'll understand that really this man has got brains. Allah's Nabi Sazam, he understands his words, his message, and he has started to gather up the barakat, the blessings. Yes, but wasteful talk and nonsense talk, put that to the side, because then Ramadan will become easy for you. This habit that you can make by doing the actions, when you make and develop this habit, it will run until Ramadan, this habit. Because habits can be made for a human being. When you make the habit of doing good actions, then what happens? The blessings are drawn. The blessings are drawn. Look, I'll explain to you. We have two options, two paths in front of us. There's no third option, no third path. And there are two destinations. There's no third destination. What are the two options, the two paths? Either Jannah or Jahannam, heaven or hell. Is there any third destination you're aware of? These are the two end points that we have. Listen very carefully. It's clear and simple. There are just two destinations and nothing else. Two end points, just waiting for death now. We don't know when death will come. Might come in young age, old age. Might be as soon as you're born, might be after 90 years old, maybe after 55 years. No guarantee. Come today, tomorrow, accident, or you could get burnt, you could die, some other tragedy. Nobody knows how you're going to die, how he's going to die. What's our destination? Either we're going to attain Jannah, paradise, or where are we going to go? Hell, Jahannam. So nothing's hidden. Very simple understanding we have. Nothing's hidden. So we are doing good actions, pious actions, righteous actions, actions that Allah likes. We're doing actions that make Allah happy. We can say very easily that that man is going to Jannah. I'm going to Jannah. I'm going to paradise, says the person. Yes, because all his good deeds are taking him into the vehicle which is being driven to Jannah. There are only two paths. If you do bad actions, if you do evil actions, where will that vehicle go? Jahannam. Hell. Yes, and you can see clearly that a person, is he going to hell or heaven? Is this a house, a jannati, in those houses where there are evil actions, salah is being discarded, and there's no parda, there's no implementation of deen, then my friends, what can we speak about Jannah there? Paradise. Yeah, the stamp's been applied that this house is Jahannam. Is going towards Jahannam. In other words, amal of a human being dictate. The ticket tells everyone around that which car is he sitting in, which vehicle. The vehicle to Jannah or the vehicle to Jahannam. Straightforward. Easy. You get up in the morning, you pray Salah, Fajr, you do Dhikr, Talawat, Alhamdulillah, good actions, righteous actions all day long. And you're busy, occupied in good deeds, good actions. You're going to Jannah. Eyes closed. When you die, maut comes. And the angels will take you into paradise. Go into paradise. They'll say to you. Because you were traveling in that direction, say Subhanallah. That direction that you're going to go to, then you're going to end in that destination, isn't it? If you're doing righteous deeds, then your vehicle is going to Jannah, which is written on that vehicle, the bus, I'm going to paradise. But those who are doing kharafat, wrong action, straight, the vehicle is going to Jahannam. Jahannam, hell. Two destinations, two paths, two options, no other option. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a great surah, surah Al-Fatiha, what a great tafsir of this surah, this chapter, Al-Fatiha. Where does it end? Where does it culminate? What's the theme, the essence? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. You're asking Allah for one thing in surah Al-Fatiha. What are you asking? Allah, the straight path. Allah, give me the straight path. This is what you're asking, isn't it? You're praising Allah, introduction. Allahumma ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So you're defending that stance. What is the straight path? The definition? The mu'mineen, siddiqeen, shuhada was saliheen. Always they do righteous actions. They were sat in the bus going to Jannah. This is what we're saying in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah, give us the straight path. The Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Salihin, Shahideen, Abideen, Zahideen. This is the path we want. And all of those go to Jannah. What's the other path? Daleen. The other option. Maghdoob. The two paths, isn't it? So where's this path go? Daleen, what do they do? May Allah forgive. Kharafat. Evil actions. Disobeying Allah. Wrong actions, leaving salah, not observing parda, in the house sins. All of these are the actions of the maghdoob and the dali. So very clear distinction. That's why in every salah we've been instructed to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in every rakah. So this reminds us that are you doing good actions or are you not doing good actions? Who are you imitating in your life? Which path have you adopted in life? Which direction are you going in? Where are you going to? Where are you traveling to? There are two options in life. So there are two paths of life, two destinations. Clear, isn't it? And who recites this surah? Who are those who are asking? Who are the people who are reciting this surah? Muslims. Surah Al-Fatiha. The Muslim, what does he have? Quran. Subhanallah. We have the Quran, don't we? Muslims. And so if you've got Iman, you've got belief, and you've got the Quran, and if you don't go to Jannah, then it's a big, big surprise. It's a big shock, isn't it? The person has Iman, he has Quran, and he's not going paradise. Where's he going, that person? He's not doing good actions then. So there must be a reason for this then, that this is happening. Must be a reason. Must be a madman then, isn't it? He's got Iman, he's a believer, he's got the light, illumination, is no darkness, he's got the light, he's got the kitab, then he says, I can't read it. That's a weird situation, isn't it? He's got the light, he's got the kitab, he's got the book, he's leaving salah. He's got the light, he's got the book, Quran, and he's doing actions of the ghayr, those who don't have iman. He's doing the actions against the deen. He's following his own deen, his own religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's the reason for this? Why does a person do this? What can be the root cause of this? Because there's a reason for everything, isn't it? So, if we understand, until a man cannot grab the root cause of his problem, then he cannot cure that problem. If you don't get the root cause of the problem. So if you grab the root cause, you identify the root cause, then you can jump to the cure. Say subhanAllah. So today, because we are far from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Qiyamah is drawing closer, and we don't think of these good things. We're just traveling, do what you want, whatever you want to do, just do it with ease. We don't know if we're on the right path or the left path. We have no idea. We're just following our own desires. Don't know what's going to happen at the end. Where's the travel? Where's our life taking us? Where's the journey taking us? We don't know. Why? Because the tadabbur, our passion, all of it has dwindled. That if a person thinks, I'm a Muslim, I've got the Quran, Allah's kitab, why do I do haram actions? Why do I do wrong actions? Why don't I travel towards Allah? Well, what's happened to my children? What's happened to my family, folk? They don't pray salah. My family don't pray salah. What sort of happiness is this? Fake happiness. This is called tadabbur, pondering. Afala tadabbarul Quran. Allah says that you stop thinking over the Quran, pondering over the Quran, understanding the Quran. When you stop thinking, then you're finished. So now today, let's come together and think. Say subhanAllah. Let's think for a moment. Or shall we not think? Shall we not think? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So think now over these points that we're discussing. Let's have a think. Because look, when you are sick, if you are ill, if a person's sick, he goes to the doctor, to the hakim, to the homeopathic doctor or a GP, herbal doctor, whatever. And he will say, the patient, the sick person, call him, and the doctor will look at you. He won't give you the medicine straight away. The doctor first, he'll research and investigate. And he'll look for the reason. If he's a hakim, he'll take your hand or the finger. He'll have his own style. And our allopathy, normal doctors, they just say straight away, I'll do a blood test. They say that, don't they? Do a blood test. Straight away, that's the only route they have. Get the blood out, they say. Get his blood out and test it. This is what happens, isn't it? Normal doctors give the right hand, that's it, put the needle in, draw the blood out, test. What test do they do? To see that what germs are there present, what sickness is there. So wait for the result, they say. Wait for the result. And then the result comes. Oh, this is the sickness, he has given this capsule, antibiotics, this medicine, etc. The person gets the cure, doesn't he? He gets well. So he researched, investigated. He won't give you the medicine in advance. Doctor investigates first to diagnose the problem. So now, let's diagnose that. Why do we commit sins? Why do we disobey Allah? Let's diagnose this problem. Because we have two options in life, two paths. Why do we go to the wrong path? What's the reason for this? Let's diagnose. Why am I doing this? What's happened to me? So my brothers, the Quran and the Hadith, in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, the spiritual doctors, who are our mashaykh, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, Allah gave them the capacity, they did tadabbur on the Quran. They understood the Quran and they extracted the cure from the Quran. How did they extract the cure? The first look at the reason. What's the reason this person's off track? That if we commit the sin, then you have to understand the reason. For this reason, due to this reason, I'm doing the sins. I'm stuck in the love of the dunya. Then understand that you're stuck in the love of the world. If you are far from Allah's path, then you have to understand, why am I far from the path of Allah, Allah's deen? If you love of wealth, and then you'll understand it's the reason. So you distinguish and you identify. Say subhanAllah. You research. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shall I carry on saying what I'm saying? Shall we continue? Is today's topic interesting? So what is this issue that the friends of Allah, Hazrat Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chisti, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani, Hazrat Baqi Billah, Hazrat Khwaja Naqshband, these were those individuals, personalities, great walis of Allah, who researched under the light of the Quran and the Hadith. Allah gave them the tools that in their generation, before that was the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Akram, the noble companions. Who was a Sahabi? Whoever saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam visibly, that was the great era. Then after that, was the second generation. Those who saw the Sahaba, Tabi'een, great generation. Great generation. In other words, if you imagine that just by seeing what a person becomes, the impact of seeing, that's why it says, it stated, the company of the walis of Allah is a brilliant thing indeed. There's a hadith that the company of the good people, a person will never leave the company of a good person empty-handed. Never will he leave empty-handed. Even if he's going to make a taweez or to get the water blown on, but he gets grabbed. The effect takes place. Yes, because the good behavior of the good company, the current, it's transferred. It's not lengthy speech that the wali Allah gives, lengthy bayan. They just do one action. They love the person who's come to visit them and they exchange that love with them. SubhanAllah, because their vision, their connection is beautiful, their discussion is beautiful, the awliya Allah. Allah Ta'ala has filled the walis of Allah with love. So whoever comes to see wali Allah Shaykh, he also falls in love with the wali Allah. Say SubhanAllah. Okay, so then how does a person become a student? He enjoys that gathering, then he comes again due to a reason. He sits again in the company of the Shaykh, the wali Allah. Then he runs away again, but then he comes back. Eventually, then he gets stuck in that net of the wali Allah, you could say. Get stuck in the net. Yeah, he likes it in that gathering. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I was saying was that this path, the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, the pious elders, they researched, they investigated, and this is very important, this point for today. And what they realized when they researched and investigated, that there are two things due to which a person is off track. There are two reasons, two root causes. There are two paths and there are two restrictions. Say SubhanAllah. So the first barrier to a person coming to the path, it's all present in the Quran, it's not some new thing that we brought out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very clearly in various places in the Quran, Allah said, Aduwwum Mubeen, who are these people? Aduwwum is the enemy. Yes, very clear cut, Allah said in the Quran, who is the enemy? It's Shaitan. Shaitan. What does Shaitan do? What's Shaitan's motive? What's his mission? Nothing apart from one thing. He's an enemy. What does the enemy do? Generally speaking. Yes, he wants the human beings to go to Jahannam. Shaitan, that's his mission. Yes, the person in the world who's your enemy will make you go to jail. And the enemy with regards to the hereafter, where will he take us? To hellfire. That's where he'll take us. So Shaitan, devil, what is he? He is our enemy of the hereafter. Enemy of the hereafter. So the first enemy of ours, who is that? Shaitan. He's our first enemy. And all the sins that are happening, who is making them happen? Shaitan. Shaitan is inclining us. Where is it stated this? In the Quran, in various places. And this is the challenge of Shaitan, isn't it? Or is it not? Yes, but we have made friendship with him. Shaitan. We've made friendship with Shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran clearly that he is your enemy. So Allah has explained to us, Allah has told us that he is very clear-cut, open enemy of yours, Shaitan. And he is your avowed enemy. And if you think you've left him, but he won't leave you, he said to Allah, he promised to Allah that I am going to take each human being to Jahannam. Then he does his work to achieve that mission. He does his work to achieve that mission, and he makes a person fail. He makes us do actions which are wrong, and he makes us stick to that path of wrong, and he doesn't let us come off that path of wrong. So when we see a person or ourselves, if myself I'm doing a sin, then what should we understand? What's the Quran saying? Who is this? Say it loudly. Who is making us do wrong? Clear cut. Very straightforward. There's no stranger, nobody hidden, nobody silent. No man makes another man do a sin. No woman makes a person do a sin. Who's making us do the sin? Shaitan. Yes, she doesn't wear burqa. Why don't you wear burqa? Nothing wrong with her. Not that she's come to this country. Not country or land. Nobody's influence. Nobody. Who is this? Shaitan is behind this. Who is saying this? Allah says in the Quran. Where is Allah saying? In the Quran. And where's the Quran? We have the Quran next to us. Yes, that we are surrounded by Quran and we are surrounded by the sins. So in other words, if we don't want to be saved from the sins, we actually want to go to Jahannam, hell. If we want to be saved from the sins, then we take the help from the Quran that we have Shaitan. Allah, you've told us Shaitan's our enemy. He's making us do sins. He's making us leave salah, making us eat haram, making us lie, making us do wrong or say wrong. Everything Allah, you told us to prohibited us from, to leave. We're doing those actions. So what should I do, Allah? Yes, this is a very lengthy challenge of Shaitan. Hard test. So Allah Ta'ala then gives the cure. Allah says, okay. Shaitan will be there and he will make you do sins. He is your biggest enemy. He is dragging you towards hell. And with full power he has come to the earth. But how does he come to you? Allah says, I haven't hidden him. I've told you everything. All the knowledge is there. Why does he come and how does he come? Allah has explained. So Allah says in the Quran, so Allah explains in a few verses that Shaitan, he comes to you, he grabs you, he controls you. How? For what reason? Allah says there's one reason. That to be saved from Shaitan, the tool that I've given to you, you don't implement that tool. You don't use that tool. You don't think about the solution and you have rejected that amal. What is that? The Quran has told us. Allah Ta'ala says, those people who leave the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, who've closed their eyes, they're like blind, they've rejected Allah's dhikr, they don't remember Allah. Then what happens to those people? Allah is explaining, then shaitan, how does he come to those people? How does he enable you to sin? How does he promote sin to you? Because you don't do dhikr of Allah. What happens then? The qayyidu shaitan, Allah says, what happens is then shaitan are released onto those people. This is Quran. It's not Mawlana Sahib who's telling us. Who is telling us this? It's a system, Allah is telling us a sequence that shaitan influences you to sin. Why does he influence you? Allah says, because when you don't do my dhikr, Allah says, when you don't remember me, when you don't have any regard for dhikr, you don't respect dhikr, you don't understand why dhikr is important, then Allah says, then shaitans are released onto you, set free onto you. And then there's a effect of that. What happens then? Then always, always shaitan stays with you to the extent that even after death, the shaitan is with you. And he goes with you until the grave. Then when maut comes after death, that same place, he will be with you in Jahannam, Allah says in the Quran, shaitan will be with you. Do you believe in this or you don't believe in this? No, we don't believe in this. We read the Quran, but we don't believe in it. So we know, we have this knowledge that shaitan influences us to do sin. He's dragging everybody towards Jahannam. And if we can be saved from shaitan, Allah says there's only one solution. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, can protect you from shaitan. Quran clear cut tells us this. There's no action, tool or method that can save you from shaitan. There's no other tool. Allah Ta'ala says, if you reject dhikrullah, if you leave dhikrullah, if you don't respect dhikrullah, if you're lazy from dhikrullah, if you neglect dhikrullah, then what happens immediately at that time, shaitan will attack you. And it's not this, that you do dhikr in the morning, then until the evening, you don't have to do anything between. No, no. Even if for a second, you are negligent and lazy and detached from Allah. Yes, because the person who's negligent, the pious predecessors have said that even if a moment, a second, a human being, a believer, as soon as he's ghafil from dhikrullah, immediately shaitan will arrive from Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani rahmatullahi, was a great personality in the history of Islam. And he requested Allah, because he, the walis of Allah have a high status. Allah Ta'ala removes the veils and shows them, demonstrates to them, whether you believe or not, but this is the case. Allah explains, shows them. He was sat in Maraqaba once doing dhikrullah, and he had a thought, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, that Allah, shaitan, how does he come into the heart of a person? How does he inject the whispers into the heart of a person? How does he make a person do sin? Please Allah, show me. Say Subhanallah. Allah's wali put in a request to Allah. So the achievement is this, that he was thinking in his mind and how Allah is listening about what his friends are thinking, because Allah knows everything. He was just thinking. Allah said, fine, I'll show it to you. Mujaddad, I can also show it to you. There's no issue here. No big deal. So leave dhikr for a moment. Just for a minute, stop doing dhikrullah. Yes, because mashallah, his whole life was dhikr of Allah. Allah, as soon as 1 second he stopped doing dhikr, then suddenly he saw, Mujaddad al-Aftani, that just like, you know, a mosquito, in the form of a mosquito, it came and it sat on his heart. He could see this. It sat on his heart and it took out its bite, you know, like its injection. And it took its bite and then suddenly it bit on the heart. Hazrat Mujaddad said that when it bit my heart, then all the waswasas came into myself. The negative thoughts. Imagine the Mujaddad of his time, the revival of Islam, great wali of Allah. He is saying, the wasawis, negative thoughts came into me. Suddenly I did dua to Allah. Allah, please remove this shaitan from me. And I started my dhikr again. He said, soon as I resumed my dhikr, remembrance of Allah, he said, shaitan scarpered. So my brothers, think from this example that this dunya we're living in, what's the hal around us? That's why Allah Ta'ala says that يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُودًا وَجُنُوبِهِمْ, that do dhikr, kathir, abundance, doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. A person who learns dhikr Allah, if the finger of the teacher has come to you and you've learned, then your heart is alive with the dhikr of Allah. You are dhakir. What a great faiz and blessings this is, that all the awliyaullah, Naqshbandi, Silsila, Suhur, Wardi, Chishti, the Salasil, the orders, the teaching orders, they are until Qiyamah, the day of judgment. Big fitnas will come from now till Qiyamah. Shaitan will attack in big and different ways. Allah said in advance in the Quran that you must be a dhakir, you must be a person who remembers Allah, because as the days are passing away from the Prophet, the time is getting worse. Allah Ta'ala sent his awliya, his friends to the world, who, mashallah, with their teachings, with the company, they gave lessons to the human beings so that they can remember Allah kathir, so that their bodies, they're doing dhikr of Allah, and so they're saved from shaitan. That's the objective. That's why we do dhikr of Allah. That's why we do remembrance of Allah. So that we don't commit the sins. If we don't commit the sins, then we'll be in the vehicle traveling to Jannah. If you're committing sins, you are in the vehicle traveling to hell. Clear cut. No wishy-washy situation. And until a person, whoever there is in the world, if a person runs away from dhikr Allah, he neglects dhikr, doesn't respect dhikr, it cannot be that shaitan will not come to him. It cannot be. He cannot imagine that shaitan will not impact him if he's not doing dhikr of Allah. Not the dhikr of a tasbih. The beads, okay, as long as you do the beads, for example, shaitan will come. When you leave the tasbih, shaitan will come. Then what do you say? I'll do dhikr as well. I pray salah. I read tahajjud salah. I did dhikr in the morning. I went to the shaykh, Hazrat Sahib, to do dhikr. And Hazrat Sahib said, every moment, every second of life, do dhikrullah. Not one place, seven lataif. There are seven delicate points in the body where the dhikr, it is taught. Allah Ta'ala says, I put my, in the heavens and outside in the world, there are my signs of my creation, Allah says. But also Allah says, within you, there are the points where you can remember Allah Ta'ala so you understand the haq, the truth. But we don't want to do dhikr of Allah. We run away from dhikr of Allah. We make excuses about, cannot imagine a person who doesn't do dhikr of Allah that he thinks he'll be safe from shaitan. He's the biggest shaitan himself. And the biggest sign of this is that shaitan, he's sitting on the transport, the vehicle of shaitan. The Quran clearly is told us, read this verse. It says that when shaitan are set free unto that person, the Allah Ta'ala says that person is brought close to shaitan, then shaitan sticks to that person. Then what does shaitan do? The first thing that shaitan does is that he takes that person off the track, the path of Allah. If you see any person who's going away from the path of Allah, he's lazy, negligent, not practicing deen, not praying salah, fasting, and he's not doing good deeds, righteous deeds, and he's cool and just cold, then understand straight away, shaitan has attacked that person. Yes, that's a sign, the Quran tells us, it's a sign that shaitan has stuck to that person. There's no other sign. He'll eat, drink, run the shop, stores, business, money, wealth, everything in the dunya. But he is not practicing the deen, and he hasn't got the tawfiq to travel on the path to Allah. That's the first sign. The sentence of this verse tells us, there's nothing to argue about. Nothing. If you see a person, if you see that your son, your family, relative, they're not practicing deen, not praying salah, then understand, shaitan is stuck to that person. And it isn't allowing that person to practice. That's it. Shaitan has stopped that person. Quran is telling us this. So first sign when shaitan impacts a person is that, subhanallah, that shaitan stops a person in practicing and traveling on the path of Allah. You can force that person. And the Quran says next, that it doesn't matter how much you explain to that person, he won't understand or she won't understand. Because shaitan has overwhelmed that person, overtaken that person. He won't come, he won't move his feet towards deen. Your son, your daughter, your wife, your children, whoever they are. Why don't they practice the deen of Islam? Because shaitan has overtaken that person, stuck to that person, adhered to that person. Until that person doesn't release himself or herself from shaitan, they're going towards Jahannam with a cool sigh. There's only one cure for that, to take shaitan out of your life. Allah says, dhikrullah, you do my remembrance, shaitan will scarper. So clear cut what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying? Easy to understand? Do you understand what I've said up till now? So why are people in the dunya doing wrong? Why are Muslims in the bad circumstances as they are? What's happened to us? Yes, religious places in the world, what's happened to them? Because our headquarters of our deen, what's happened there? Yes, why is there sin there? Why are there wrong actions there? What's the sign? The Quran says, when you see wrong things, understand straight away. Shaitan has overtaken those people and places. Shaitan has overwhelmed those places. Yes? Then the Quran says, then the next stage is that after that, Allah, that person will say, no, I'm fine, I'm totally fine. Don't tell me anything, I'm on the right path. They'll say, rather those people who are on the right path, they'll say, they're mad. Look how Quran clearly explains that when you see an individual who is not on the path of deen, he's doing wrong actions, sinful actions. He's, no, don't tell me, I'm fine, I'm totally fine, he says. I'm okay. And these other people, these religious people, they're mad, they're crazy. Why are they practicing like this? Is this not the case today, tell me? That how many percent of the population acts like this? People of understanding are sitting around me. Ask me. I'll say 99% of the people are like this today. with the upside down understanding, with the upside down understanding. They say, no, we're fine. Are you mad telling me about deen? They reply. This is shaitan. Do you understand? Shall I carry on? Shaitan. Shaitan is a big enemy of ours. But there's a bigger enemy than shaitan. Who shaitan, even big enemy, say subhanAllah, that he has made shaitans out of shaitan, a bigger enemy, a bigger force. Look at Allah Ta'ala's creation. And that's the creation of Allah. Just like we are the creation. Yes, we are the creation of Allah. Shaitan is the creation of Allah. And due to that, shaitan became shaitan. And that also is a big barrier for us. That makes us do the sins. Yes, why were we given these things? This is the purpose. Allah says, that's your test and your challenge in the world. Allah says, you won't get Jannah just like that. You have to struggle. Allah says that Jannah is surrounded by the challenges. Paradise. But it's easy. Is it hard to do dhikrullah? No. It's not hard to do dhikrullah. Is it difficult physically to do dhikrullah? No. So it's ourselves who've made dhikr hard. We've made ourselves hard to get to Jannah. If today you have an honest heart at home, our daughters, sons, children, start doing dhikr of Allah, listen to the instructions of a sheikh, a teacher, alhamdulillah, Jannah will come to you and your family. And shaitan will run away, disappear. How can he dare to impact us? So you know shaitan, even he has a limit. Shaitan, remember this. Even shaitan has a limit. It just comes to one extent. He works hard, comes to you, pushes you around, shoves you around. And he can't do nothing more than that. Because human being is weak, he has no power, so shaitan runs after that human being. Because he is weak, has no power. But the real enemy is something else. That enemy itself made shaitan shaitan. And that is the nafs, the carnal desires of the human being. That's the biggest enemy. That's the real enemy of the human being. Of each and every one of us. Even shaitan was made, came about due to nafs. Allah says in the Quran, tells us clearly how shaitan came about. When Allah said to shaitan, do sajda, Allah said, why didn't shaitan do sajda? Why didn't shaitan? And the punishment to shaitan wasn't given because he didn't prostrate. Remember this, Allah is telling us himself. Yes, Allah Ta'ala said, I said to shaitan, do sujood. He didn't prostrate. It's not because he didn't prostrate that he was given the punishment. Rather, it's because of his kibr that he was given the punishment. Allah says, I told him to prostrate. He didn't prostrate. What did shaitan do? He did an act of kibr. And Allah said, due to kibr, I gave the punishment to shaitan. Due to kibr. So kibr, why did shaitan do kibr? For this reason, because the nafs of shaitan inside it, his desires said to shaitan, don't prostrate to Adam, you are greater than Adam. Do you understand the point? This is the point. So now one point, listen, very fantastic point this is. Shaitan at that time, that it wasn't about prostrating, it wasn't the quarrel over prostrating. The problem was that what did shaitan say? That Allah, I'm bigger, I'm better, I'm greater, and Adam, he's a human being, he's less than me. For this reason Allah punished him, for this point, that your nafs, you are worshipping your nafs and you're not worshipping me, Allah said. So what did he do? That his big disease of nafs he had, shaitan. And nafs forced shaitan, the desires. Then Allah made Iblis shaitan after them. So that same nafs is inside us today. The desires. Just like Iblis became shaitan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Try to understand what I'm saying. Simple, but I'm repeating. The Iblis became shaitan due to his nafs. And that big enemy of nafs is with us all the time. And it's the nafs that makes us do the wrong all the time. That everything is in nafs. Kibar, riya, pretense, showing off. And all the diseases, shirk. Everything comes from the nafs. That makes a human being do the wrong. So you won't get Jannah just without doing anything, my brothers. You can do dhikrullah. You have to do dhikrullah. But how do we crush the desires? How do we get rid of the desires? We can do dhikr to get rid of shaitan. Yes. Yusuf alayhi salam said, Allah save me from the nafs. Nafsi ammara. Bisu. It's his work that invites you towards the wrong. He's dragging me towards the wrong. Allah save me from the nafs. Save me from the desires. So if a person has nafs inside him, desires inside him, constant desires. What nafs? And nafs just invites you towards sin. Nafs. Shaitan, He invites you. He can push you and shove you around. But nafs, your desires inside you, they are above and beyond shaitan. It grabs a person, doesn't let go of a person. It makes you, forces you to do the sin. Nafs. Shaitan will say, and he'll run away. But nafs forces you to sin. Oh, just have a look at that scene. It's okay. What difference does it make? Just look today at that scene and then do tawbah tomorrow. And then you say, no. You say, you mad? Just do it. No one's watching. You just do it. You prayed salah. You're pious. You're good. It's khair. It's okay. It tells you. And then nafs forces you to do the action. Nafs will drag you towards zina. Who plans? Remember this as well. Yes? So you'll make you plan. Shaitan makes you plan. Plan, because he's not a dhakir, you're weak, shaitan, he whispers to you, plans you, grab this person, take him to shaitan. So shaitan catches that person. So the nafs then overwhelms that person, overtakes that person. So nafs, ammara, is a dangerous, what's the symptoms? In which nafs ammara is doing its work, what are the symptoms? It makes it look hard. It makes you have takabbur and pride and envy and hatred. And the biggest disease, which is shirk. Shirk. Yes? Let me explain to you a little bit. Because this is a big point. And I'm sharing with you the words of our pious predecessors. The learnings from our pious predecessors. There are two types of shirk. You know, we say shirk is the biggest sin. There are two categories of shirk. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Allah Ta'ala says that I will forgive everybody, but who will I not forgive? Allah says, who will I not forgive? The mushrik who commits shirk. So are me and you, are we safe from shirk? Yes, subhanAllah. No, I pray salah. There are two types of shirk. SubhanAllah. Don't take bad what I'm saying or negative. Understand what I'm saying, because this is for our hisab kitab. Yes? So you don't say shirk, oh, that person doing shirk. And we think that is only those who don't believe. There are two types of shirk. One is shirk of surti. And one is shirk hakiki. One is the physical shirk. The physical shirk, apparent shirk, is zahir. The worshipping idols, worshipping trees, worshipping animals, or worshipping the human beings. This is the physical apparent shirk. It's clear. You can see a person, he's worshipping something other than Allah. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Mushrik. Oh, he's worshipping idols, or he's a mushrik, he's worshipping other than God, Allah, or he's worshipping human beings, he's made this God, he's made this God. It's zahir, it's apparent. We say that this is shirk and that's the only way of shirk, but that's just the apparent physical shirk. And shirki hakiki, so who does shirk apparent? Those obviously who are worshipping other than Allah, they're mushriks. But shirki hakiki, every man is committing this shirk, every person. Say SubhanAllah. Because shaitan, did he not become mushrik? He did, didn't he? Shaitan. Although he believed before. So in this, everyone is included in shirki hakiki. How? How, we ask the question. How is that? The nafs makes us do this shirk. Nafsi ammara enables a person to commit shirk. What is shirk? What is shirk? The Allah Ta'ala's law, you reject that, and the human being obeys the order of the nafs. And he accepts the order of the nafs, that he has no regret, he has no shame, no remorse. He's stuck on that way. He says, it's necessary for me to do this. If I don't do this, I cannot succeed. That my life will not be made if I don't do this. And I'm forced to do this. We have to do this, yaar. We're living in the world. We have to please the people in the world. And he debates and he argues and he thinks he's right. And he's stuck on the sinful ways. And he says, oh, I want to do this. And on the other side, Allah and Rasulullah say, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. On the other hand, instruction. La tubtulu amwalukum, Allah Ta'ala says. That all of your deeds are shirk actions you are doing. Why? Because your actions are not according to the instructions of Allah and Rasulullah Sallam. You're not obeying. You're saying you believe in Allah. But your nafs orders you are implementing. Yes? You've got a beard just this long. So, I'm giving examples. I'm not criticizing anyone. May Allah Ta'ala forgive, but I'm the worst of everybody sitting here. So people get upset that I'm criticizing. I'm not criticizing, I'm just giving you some examples, which is common today. Common. The people, they've got a beard, it's trimmed, it's not long enough. Look at the game. That I've studied in Al-Azhar University, this university, I won't give names. And look at their beards. They just have a few millimeters. Yes, we are split into sects, this bandi, this person, and this sect, this group. Imagine the difference to this extent that, for example, we won't wear the green color, we won't wear this color because I don't want to look like this person. We won't wear black because if I wear black, then I'll be looking like this person. So there are groups in the ummah, my brothers, servants of Allah, these are the sunnahs of Rasulullah, the different colors. Is this not the case? So who's making us do this? Not shaitan. It's the nafs that's making us go down this path. It's enabling us to do shirk. This is shirki hakiki. That individual who he leaves Allah's orders and he obeys the orders of the nafs, then he has arrived to shirki hakiki. And who is doing that? Those people, the Quran is explained. They don't do tadabbur on the Quran. They don't reflect on the verses of the Quran. So they're doing shirk, say subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's clear what I'm saying? Yes, so I really enjoy when I sit next to MashaAllah you. Otherwise, where do I learn these words and these statements? Look here. So this statement I said that when I enjoy sitting next to the walis, well, I don't think I'm speaking about myself. I'm speaking about myself, not you. I speak about myself that I sat in the company of a wali Allah. How much I'm enjoying today now the words I'm sharing with you that I learned from them. I'm not saying a wali Allah sit next to me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Let me clear this point. So don't think of they say, oh, he's saying he's a wali Allah, sit next to me. Oh, he thinks he's a sheikh. I am no sheikh, no wali Allah, nothing. Brothers, I'm not even the dust on your shoes akin to that. I'm just speaking with you, generally speaking. How can a person be a wali Allah? Do you understand the point I'm saying? So this is shirk. So the nafs makes a person commit shirk. The nafs, the desires. So we can't be saved from shaitan until we don't do dhikr Allah. No power can save you from shaitan because Allah has given one tool, one method, one tariqah to be saved from shaitan. What is that? Dhikr Allah, remembrance of Allah. And only that person will be saved from the trap of shaitan who does dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. So to be saved from nafsi amara, how can we be saved? What's the formula, the method? So let's go back to the Quran. Why do you listen to me? The Quran, read the Quran and understand the cure from the nafs. Allah says, أَفَلَا تَتَدَبْرُ الْقُرْآنِ. Quran tells us everything, the solutions. My brothers, the Quran gives us the solutions. Such a dangerous enemy, nafsi amara, the nafs, there is no shame in the nafs. It's very stubborn is the nafs. Your desires are very stubborn, persistent, no parda, naked body. And openly, we are Muslims practicing like this. Isn't this the case? Just like we want to go to the Kaaba, go to Medina that we want, shave the beard, trim the beard, no sharam, no shame, and we say we are correct. A body is shaking a person when he sees someone who's trimmed the beard, shaved the beard, and he presents himself in front of the Rauda Mubarak. Somebody's consuming interest, he has no shame. Person who's earning haram or consumed in haram, he's got no shame. Person's going to the Prophet's grave, and they have no shame going to the holy places. But we are stubborn that we are correct. What is this? This is shirk that we are committing. This is shirki hakiki that we are committing. And everyone's included in this. That we call the people who worship idols mushrik. But Allah says, you are also doing shirk at the same time. That you are not obeying my order. You are more mushrik than those people. They don't even have a kitab. Yes, but you are sitting in the masjid and you commit the sins. You open the Quran and commit the sins. During Ramadan you commit the sins. Nafs says that don't pray salah. You don't pray salah. 5 times salah is fard, compulsory. And then you hear the hadith every day that salah and not praying salah, that the wall between iman and kufr is salah. How many people don't pray salah? Tell me. They sat at home. Why? For this reason, this is the sign, the symptoms of nafsi amara. They have fallen into the trap of the nafsi amara. And they're traveling on the vehicle of nafsi amara. And he is 100% going to hell unless he does tawbah, unless he repents. Don't fall into the deception in your life. False deception. This is Quran openly, clearly telling us this. That don't be just happy, false happiness. Be awake, conscious, man and woman. Understand where you are stood and where you are going. Young woman, a young child is at home and not praying salah. Young boy, man at home and he doesn't go to masjid to pray salah. He says he's a Muslim. He is a Muslim, but whose order is he obeying? Whose order is he obeying? Allah or his nafs? Desires. What do we call that person? Oh, he's young. Look at our tactics of the nafs. Excuse me. Oh, no, he's fine. He's pious, this child. He does this. He's pure. Just he doesn't pray salah. Why? Oh, he's a little bit lazy. He'll be okay. Is this the case or not? Tell me. Oh, he's just a little bit lazy. Just do dua for the child. He'll be okay. He'll be fine. Oh, he's okay. Everything else is okay. Yes, these are the signs. Clear. Clear signs. And Ramadan, at the end of Ramadan, the stamp is applied, Laylatul Qadr. Inshallah, these points we'll discuss again when the chance arises. The stamp is applied that this person is Jahannami. Because in his house, in his life, all those actions are present. Allah Ta'ala prohibited. He is worshipping his nafs. Nafs Amara has overwhelmed this person. And he's a mushrik. Repent, my brothers, do tawbah. Do repentance. After death, the punishments. What is the punishment of a mushrik? Check what are the punishments a mushrik will get. Now you're hearing today, so I leave this man, what's he saying? Who is this man who's telling us this? Oh, Peter, leave this Peter, he's speaking, he doesn't know what he's talking about, people say. One person phoned me, his phone came to me. From Canada. He phoned somebody I knew. After a while we hadn't met. I said, Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. He said, oh bae, what am I hearing? I heard you have making a lot of noise and what peer have you made yourself? What are you talking about? He said. This is how he started on the phone call. I was just smiling. I said, you have heard some weird things about me. He said, yaar, I heard Molana Peer Saab. What is it you're doing? What game are you playing with me? Why are you making people go crazy? He said. I said, what's your issue? He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. He's got his beard shaved. And he's older than me. Clean shaven. Tie, suit. He said, look, we have to wander around the dunya. Are these words correct? What I've heard about you? What you say about the deen? These were 3-4 statements, he said. I said, nothing. I was just silent. Sayyid, he said, he is. I said, Shah Sahib. I said, he's a relative, distant relative. I said, what you're saying is correct. I said, leave this. After many days we've talked, let's talk about the old days. I was trying to go towards a positive. He said, no, first tell me, why is this you're telling people that you're this and that, and what you're telling people about the deen? I said, no, look, the point is this, that, tell me. I said, leave these points, don't worry, leave the quarrel. I said, your older brother, where is he? He said, nay, yaar, forget my brother. He's passed away. I said, what about your sister? What happened to her? She said, her? Oh, she's died. So obviously, their age, whoever asked, he said, they've died. They've passed away. I said, your friend, he's died. That person died. I said, all these people have died. I said, just me and you are left then. He said, yeah, just me and you are left. I said, when's your turn coming then? Then he shook a bit on the phone. Subhanallah. Tell me, that individual, good person, good man. It's not that he wasn't a good person, but nafsi ammara had grabbed him and overtaken him. He had grabbed him and overtaken him. And he had to come out of that trap. Who's going to take him out of that trap? Tell me. These are the symptoms I'm telling you. The nafsi ammara symptoms. Totally he thinks he's fine, he's correct, his deen is correct. He said, leave these things you talk about. He said, this is not necessary. I said, what about masjid? He said, there are many masjids around me. And Muslim, he calls himself Muslim. So are you thinking now that what is shirk? Do you understand what is shirk? Why? Because whose orders he following? He's following the orders of his desires. Maybe he's listening to what I'm saying. At that time, he came into the right line. At that time he came onto the right line. I said to him, okay, fine. I have a flight. I'm going tonight. Karachi he had come to. I said, you going? And you going on the return flight? He said, let's talk 5 minutes more. He said, oh, we haven't met for each other. He said, no, 5 minutes, give me more. So I said, me and you were just left. What should we do now? We're left in the world. I said, now I'm trying to explain to you that your turn's going to come next. He said, yes, my turn's going to come next. Then more than death is such a thing. He started to think, that, oh, my friend's died, my family's died. He said, let's do one thing then. He said, what? I said, that, do you know one action you should do? I said, that, look here. That I'm a sinful person. He said, yaar, I've committed so many sins myself. Which direction we came in the conversation? So first, he has had nafsi ammara. He didn't accept anything. Then I'll give you the second example. The same individual. The after Nafsi Amara, what level did he come to? So he said then, that the difficult time is to come when we die. I said, but Allah's made it very easy for us that if we do the right action, and I said, maybe you're 60, 65, 70. I said, all of the sins you committed in your life, Allah Ta'ala, He's made such a system that in a second, all your sins can be forgiven. He said, is it? On the phone to me. He said, how can my sins be forgiven? I said, very simple method. And immediately he said, please tell me, how can I get rid of the sins? I said, I'll tell you after. He said, no, tell me now. I want to hold on to the phone. SubhanAllah. And mashallah, he's a Muslim. He's a Muslim is a Muslim at the end of the day. He has iman somewhere there inside. Don't think anybody is a minor. If a person's off the track, astray, he's on the wrong path, the poor soul. But don't reject that person. Give that person time. Yes, he's maybe better than us. Maybe he's a thousands of times better than me, probably, that person. In reality, he was. So I said, okay, fine. He said, well, how can I get rid of the sins? I said, very simple formula, in a second, what will happen? I said, all your sins of your life forgiven. You'll be thousands of levels higher than me. You'll do dua for me, I'll do dua for you. And I will listen to your dua. And the Prophet ﷺ will do dua for you. And you'll be pious. And the angels, they'll be witness. He said, oh, how will I get all of this? Me? I said, yes, you. And I said, the Quran tells us how to do this. He said, how? I said, Quran has given us the formula. You don't know? He said, Yaar, oh bray, great news. He said, Peer Sahib, tell me as well. And then he came to Peer Sahib. The criticism he gave in the beginning, he's come back to that title. And then, change my name. I said, let's do this then. That what I teach other people, shall I teach you? He said, yes. I said, then you'll be my murid. He said, yes, I'll be your murid, I'll be your student, he said. And I'll be a sheikh and you'll be the student. It doesn't take long. Just Nafsi Amara, his Nafsi identified it. He realized it, because the nafs makes a person the mushrik. You can never correct yourself, but the cure, the formula that Allah has given for the nafs to crush it, just like the cure for shaitan is what? As we said in the beginning, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So what's the cure for nafs? The desires, the base desire. Do you understand until now what I've said? Or you don't understand? I said, Hazrat, okay, let's recite the kalima. Then I recited the kalima, he recited the kalima, made him do tawbah. Then his voice changed, his tears came to his eyes. Then he said, what shall I do now? I said, nothing. I said, just do dhikr Allah. He said, give me dhikr. Then I taught him dhikr. Then he said, what shall I do? I said, you have a masjid near you? I said, go to the masjid, pray salah. I promise to you, inshallah, I'm going back now. You go to the masjid, he said. He said, I'll go to the masjid. Then next point, he said, Yaar, that you must be very busy, I can't meet you. The dua of ijaza can come to visit you. Look how his manner was changing. I said, I don't have time. Then I stepped back. I was stepping back now. He said, no, Yaar, come on, we're old friends, please, old friendship. Yeah, you can at least phone you. I said, I won't phone you, you will phone me, because I've done my duty. This is an example I'm giving to you, a fresh example I'm giving to you. So what does the Quran say? That nafsi amara, your base desires, it overtakes you, it makes you stubborn, it makes you think you're correct, that we are fine in the dunya, everyone else is wasted from you, he'll reject the Quran, he won't reject, but he'll neglect. Because obviously a Muslim, yes, but he just says, no, I'm fine. Why is this like this? Why isn't it like this? Answers, debates, and making a fuss to the extreme level, a person will be stubborn. Follow his desires. This is the sign of a person who's following nafsi amara. So, the nafs never dies, remember this. Look how Allah's created the nafs. Nafs will never die. You can't get rid of it completely. You can't get rid of nafs, but the nafs can be transformed and improved, yes. You can change the nafs, you can't kill the nafs. If you say, I'll kill the nafs, it won't die. But you can change it, make it better. The nafs. Okay, how? Do you understand up to now what I'm saying? So when the human being comes to this position, then inside him is come the understanding. And he's come the understanding, the reality. He doesn't accept haq. and he's living in the dunya and he's forced to do wrong due to the dunya. Everyone else is doing this. Science and technology has progressed. We must follow that way. Otherwise, if we follow Islam, it's backward. When these thoughts come into a person and he talks negatively against Islam in his mind, in his ways, and he thinks he's right or she's right, the Quran says that person is drowned in nafsi ammara. Nafsi ammara is surrounded that person. This is the sign of that person. So there's only one tariqa to be saved from that. Just like dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah will save you from shaitan. To get rid of shaitan, you have to do dhikr of Allah. So to be saved from nafsi ammara, let's give him tariqa. Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. The example I just gave to you. Same example. Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, Allah says. That's the only way to be saved from the nafs. Because no tool or method of the world can save you from nafsi ammara. That today, that's why people are stubborn on their sins. Today the whole ummah is stubborn on their deeds. Because that was the great era, generation when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present on earth and his sahaba. And all around after that there were khanqas and there was great deen. The deen was on the uruj, the high level. Look at the history of Islam. Look at the history of Islam. That people, they weren't attacked by nafsi ammara, but because dhikr is finished, khanqahs are finished, the walis of Allah, people don't respect them, there's no system. So nafsi ammara has totally grabbed and overwhelmed the ummah and human beings and individuals. And every individual is doing shirk, is worshipping his nafs. He follows and accepts the orders of the nafs and not the orders of Allah and his Rasul, so doesn't respect them. So this nafsi ammara to be extracted from this, if anybody wants to be relieved from the chain of nafsi ammara, if you want to be released from the trap of nafsi ammara, if you want somebody's help, there's only one method, there's only one route. And what is that? Sohbat-e awliya, the company of the walis of Allah, the pious sheikhs. This is a fact. A person who's drowned in nafs won't accept either. You say, no, I don't need to go and sit in the company of a teacher, of a sheikh, oh, they're a waste of time. He doesn't accept that system of tasawwuf. So strongly the nafs has overtaken him that he makes that person drown in the darkness of shirk. May Allah Ta'ala forgive from us and save us from such a circumstance. And the company of a person who's drowned in nafs is so dirty, whoever sits in the company of that person, he's gone as well. Remember this. Whenever you see a person is following his nafs, his desires, deeply his life, that he thinks the orders of his desire are the best, and he thinks he is good and fine and correct, and he's not sinful, and he thinks he's totally okay. His thoughts, his words, his actions, his method, then understand that person's drowned in nafs. Even the person who sits in the company of that person, he will lose himself as well, because the nafs, person who's drowned in nafs, sucks on that person, drags him. To be saved from that person's company, definitely save yourself. Beware the company of the person who worships his nafs. Very dangerous company to sit in the company of the person who obeys his nafs. But what does Islam say? Islam says, at the same time, you should pay attention also to that person, if only that person can come onto the right path. Don't shun that person. If I was angry, upset, and said, you run away, who are you? And who are you to criticize me? Then that person wouldn't have a chance. That person wouldn't have a chance, would he? We'd never have the chance to reform him. Yeah, he was saying bad to me, or swearing, or speaking rubbish to me. I'm laughing, I'm smiling. I said, no problem. I said, leave this quarrel. Oh, tell me about this person. Tell me about that. Try. Still was soft. Mild manner with that person. Because I know it's the nafs of that person that's destroyed him. It's not his fault. It's nafsi ammara that has overtaken him. His circumstances, he's in the negative. Get him out of that situation. So never shun that person who is in the wrong. Okay, he's gone astray. He's deviated. He's got lost. He doesn't understand what is right. Nafsi ammara, shaitan, they've overtaken that person. So take him out of the darkness. Help that person. Have love for that person. Assist that person. Don't be enemy of that person. Okay, he's swearing at you, criticizing you, etc. Don't worry. No worries. Just ignore that person's negativity. And look at that person. That person is in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to extract them from the darkness. But don't keep running into the company. Don't believe in his words. Understand, because that person's drowning in nafsi ammara. So what's the cure that the Quran has said? Qunu ma'as-sadiqeen. That's the cure for the nafs. What is that? That when a person who's following the desires, who's drowned in his desires, and he goes into the company of a pious person, A person's in committing shirk, he's become a mushrik. Soon as he goes in the sohbat of the wali, Allah has put the effect in the company of the shirk. What is that verse? In the books and the kitabs, what do you see? But when you sit in the company of the wali Allah, that has the impact. Famous statement. That the effect, the current that Allah Ta'ala has injected around the company of the pious shaykhs, the mashayikh, because the sahaba ikram became due to sohbat. The tabi'in became due to the company of the sahaba. And the tabi'in became due to the company of the tabi'in. So it's due to good company that makes a person. So today in this day and age is desperate need we are in, critical need that we must have the company of the wali Allah, the shaykh. Most important necessity in this day and age. Otherwise, nafsi amara will devour us. Soon as an individual goes in the company of the teacher, shuka, what I'm saying. Soon as an individual who's drowned in the nafs, soon as he goes into the company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, then suddenly, immediately Allah Ta'ala has prepared that system. Remember this. That Allah has prepared that system that suddenly the company has an effect and a few things come into that person that are positive at that time. They affect that person immediately at that time. That it changes his mindset, his ideology, his thinking changes, and a nur and an understanding comes into the brain of that person, into the heart of that person. That's the first sign of change, when an individual who's drowned in the nafsi amara, that had crushed his thinking, crushed his ideology, didn't allow him go towards Allah, didn't allow that person to think about the right things, suddenly when that person goes into the company of a shaykh, his thinking changes. Thinking changes. Not the 100%. Takes a bit of time after that. Constant. Some people takes years. Some people takes 2 years. But keep on attending that good company. Don't leave that good company. Yes? According to the time that you have. Yes? According to the time. Sometimes 5 years, 10 years, 15 years it takes time sometimes. As a Khwaja Mohiduddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayhi, that many years, how many years? 45 years he went to his sheikh, Hazrat Usman rahmatullah was his name. 45 years that he would carry his wuzu water on his head for miles to assist and serve his teacher. 45 years he served his sheikh. He carried the vessel with the wuzu water on his head. He said, that's after that time I got the jazb and I got the passion. 45 years. Such a great sheikh himself he became. Hazrat Khwaja Mohiduddin Chishti. His words these are. So sometimes it takes time to get the impact, because this is the path of Allah, the deen. We need to attain paradise. We want to attain Allah's qurb. It doesn't happen in minutes. This is dunya, this world. Allah sent us to this environment that you must give your all for this effort. Eating, drinking, shops and stores and business and dunya. We ain't come for this. We've come to immerse ourselves in the deen of Allah. And the nafs Allah's created, our desires, we must fight our desires. We must constantly grapple with our desires and attack our desires, become successful and then depart this world. That's our target. That's our mission. Yes? Just whether we get dry bread, bread or not, whether you have a house, you don't have a house, a shop, a business, employment, wife, whether you have something or not, but you must be practicing this deen all times. Following this is permanent. If you're constantly worried about the dunya, my this job or this issue or that problem or this issue, then you have stopped on that journey. You're not on the journey. You cannot work hard if you've got barriers and obstacles in your way. In the morning, how will I come to dhikr? Or I have to do other things. Or I can't go to dhikr in the evening. It's too hard. I've got worldly issues, problems. How can I pray salah? It's too hard for me. That person, stop. Our job is do every single action from morning till night that will give us the nearness to Allah and acquire the hereafter. That's the objective why we come to this dunya. That's our mission in this world. If you have some other objective, are you taking anything from this world? Have you seen anyone dying? Has he got his bank statement in his grave when he goes? Have you ever put the checkbook in somebody's coffin? Have you put his debit card in this coffin? Have you put his SIM of the phone in his coffin? Have you ever put a gold ring with someone in the grave? No! Rather, warning, admonishment, all those things are taken off and distributed to the world when a person dies. So when was those things ever yours? Oh, my watch. Or was it your father's? Give to that person the uncle when your father died. Give to Mamuji, Chachaji, uncle. Give the gold to that person. Give the watch to that person. You had nothing in the world. You only had one objective, that you should do good deeds today so that in the hereafter you are near to Allah. That's your mission in this world. What an objective that we've wasted in our lives. Who today takes his house with him in the grave? Has anyone taken their shop, any business into the grave when they die? Why are we stacking up these into mounds of wealth? One breath you cannot earn yourself here. That a person who is connected to the hereafter, every breath is wife, children, assets, money. All these things are a barrier of destruction. Keep on jumping over the hurdles and come close to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Afoon Allah says, run, hasten to me. There's no guarantee when death will come. Quickly, your decision is about to come. The nafsi amara, change your nafs, improve your nafs. How? And bring it to nafsi lawama. To Allah, when a person is sent, then nafsi amara is stubborn, shaitan is present. He doesn't like the deen, he doesn't want to practice. And he doesn't want to know himself, be humble. Anger, takabbur, nonsense, talk, rubbish, all is embedded in that student. In the beginning, all defects and darkness, all embedded in that person. Nafsi amara. Why does he swear? Nafs. Why does he angry? Nafs. Why does he follow passions and shahwat? Nafs. Lust. Nafs. All of these are diseases of the nafs. All embedded in that person. Full of that. Then as soon as he goes in the company of Wali Allah, the changes come to that person's life. Changes, positive changes come in that person's life. Then he fights with his nafs. And he runs from anger. And the kibr comes out. And the humility comes, and shame comes, and love comes, and enmities come out. And perseverance comes, endurance comes, stubbornness comes out. And the biggest thing, the change that will come to you, what will that be? Subhanallah, is regret and remorse will come into that person. When a person comes to this position, improvement, look, first he commits sins. Oh, leave it. He goes, oh, I can't do it. Oh, we have to live in the world. Oh, what difference does it make? Then when he comes to the position, no, yaar, I committed sins. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have committed the sins. When he feels this, immediately understand that his nafs has changed and it's become nafse lawama. Lawama is this. Both the words of the Quran. Nafse lawama is what? Nadamat, regret. That nafs that has shame and regret and remorse, and he has that awareness and feeling, I've made a mistake, I shouldn't have done this, I did wrong, I committed the sins. Even if you commit sins again, but after sin comes regret again and remorse again, and he's aware and has that feeling. So before, he used to look at naked pictures on his phone and thought, it's permissible, oh, it's fine, I'm forced to do this, I can't help it. But when he comes into the company of a pious person, then the shame will come into that person. Oh, why do I do these wrong things? I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, I've made big mistakes. And when he has that awareness and emotion, then he'll hasten towards tawbah and repentance to Allah. And he'll run towards the istighfar. Subhanallah. And the company of the sheikh, the company of the teacher will take the student to that level that he will start working hard and making effort. Amazing. Then every action, he will start walking towards Allah, and it will be easy for him to walk towards Allah. Easy. And he'll run towards Allah and hasten towards Allah. He'll start doing those actions that previously were so hard. Oh, how can I do this? I can't go here. I can't practice this. But then it'll start to be easy for him. And he'll start running towards Allah. And he'll have regret for the sins. And he'll start doing tawbah, repenting, istighfar, humility and shame. I won't do this sin again. He'll start promising to Allah. Then consider that he's become from nafsi amara to nafsi lawam. He's ascended. And he is now going towards promotion and success. He's come out of Amara. That Nafsi Amara, the base level, has gone. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are the signs I'm telling you. Yeah? That we now need to look at our own selves and ask ourselves, what status am I on? Have I got the shame? Have I got the regret? If I committed excess or oppressed someone, do I feel like asking him for forgiveness? If I swore at someone, do I feel like asking for forgiveness? If I disrespected someone, do I feel asking for forgiveness? If I said bad to someone, or bad to a youngster, or I committed excess, oppressed, or took haram, or took somebody's rights, do I feel like, before I said, oh, it's okay. Oh, what difference does it make? It all runs in the dunya, it's fine. Everyone else does it. And now, you say in your heart, no, it's wrong, I did wrong. I shouldn't have done this. Oh, I commit this, I'm doing this sin, I should leave this sin. You start to feel that, then consider that nafsi amara, you are breaking it, that the company of the sheikh is having a positive effect on you. The sohbat of the sheikh is having a positive effect on you. And there's no guarantee, it could take 100 years, could take 50 years, could take 10 years, alhamdulillah, but my work is happening quicker. You're saying to yourself, My success is happening quicker. The sohbat of the company, due to the company of my sheikh, I'm keeping the beard the right length. Due to the sheikh's company, I've left the sins. Due to the sheikh's company, I've corrected my attire. Due to the sheikh's company, I'm following the sunnahs. From nafsi ammara, I'm coming towards nafsi lawwama. So now, then what's his next action? Now he'll start to do mujahidat, effort, hard work. What's mujahidat? Improvement. Mujahida, what's the definition of mujahida? Mujahada, that doesn't mean waking up all night long, keeping fast, ongoing. No. What's his action now? That now he's learnt how to fight with the nafs, with the desires. The students learnt. He's understood now the game, the shaitan and nafs, how do I fight them? Now he's ready to fight shaitan and nafs. And now when nafs comes, he starts to trick the student, then the student starts fighting with the nafs because he's got power to fight with the nafs. And the name of this fight equals mujahida. The name of this fight with nafs equals mujahida. Because nafs doesn't die, is suppressed, then it'll come back out again. Then you'll suppress it again, then it'll take you towards zina again, towards stealing again. Because you've come out of nafs amara, the sohbat of your sheikh is having a positive effect. Now you'll fight the nafs and you'll drop the nafs. Sometimes you're on top, sometimes nafs is on top. Sometimes you're on top and you carry on doing this mujahida, and totally, eventually one day you will be on top of nafs and the nafs will be underneath you. There are different stages you have to go through. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So the person who gets scared, then suddenly, once you come out of the level of nafs amara, I swear by Allah, then you will win over nafs amara. What's the sign of that? That you've come out of the level of nafs amara. The sign is that the company of the wali Allah, you have arrived to the company of the wali Allah. That's the sign. Then don't be scared after that. Don't worry about the attacks of the dunya. Depression is nothing in the world, my friends. Depression is just a made up name. Depression is just the name of a person who's drowned in nafsi ammara. Oh, I can't do this. I'm lost here. This has happened to me. Why did this happen to me? He keeps on rotating these thoughts. But when he goes into the company of the sheikh, then he's satisfied. No worries. Allah sent this. Fine. I'm fine with that, he says. And he's happy. Yes, oh, this sickness, I've got a sickness, no problem. Allah's given me this, don't worry, I'll be fine with time, I'll be fine. Thinks positively. So the company of the sheikh has a positive impact on the person. If he steps back, the nafs grabs him again, nafsi amara overtakes him again, then he'll fight, he'll wrestle, and then he'll come back on top of nafsi amara. So this is a sign of what? This is not, he's not in nafsi amara now. He is promoted to nafsi lawwama. The company of the sheikh is working for that person now. It's working for that person. The person who's drowned, fallen again, then he gets up again, then consider he is succeeding over the nafsi amara. And this equals mujahida. No problem if you make a mistake, you have a fight with the nafs, nafs overtakes you, you disappear again, then you fight again with your nafs. Oh, where are you taking me? It was wrong again. Then after 10, 15 years, he comes back after 5 years, or after 4 days, after 10 days. Understand, certainly due to the company of the teacher, he's overtaken nafs amara, he's successful, he's not drowned. He's not lost forever. No loss for him at all. Soon as he comes back to the sohbat company of the sheikh, again the nur, the illumination will come back to that person. So this fight is constant, ongoing, eventually constant. It takes time. Takes time. Sometimes nafs on top, sometimes nafs is underneath, sometimes you're on top, sometimes... But the company of the sheikh should not be lost. You should not lose that. This is the main point, the company of the teacher. Do you understand today's lecture? Do you understand my discussion of today? Are there good points I've brought up? Whoever likes this, put your hands up at least so I can understand and realize that people like what I'm saying. MashaAllah. Okay, put your hands down. So, you're not upset what I'm saying, are you? No? We are all, MashaAllah, there's nothing to be upset about. Sometimes it'll be hard. I'm not criticizing anyone. Listen carefully. You're all my children, MashaAllah. You're all my children. I love all of you. Whether anyone's good or bad, doesn't matter. All the same. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. I'm trying to explain so we understand. So company of the teacher is so valuable, alhamdulillah. Company of the sheikh. Never leave the company of the sheikh. Why? Because nafs will overtake you again, take you to the back of the queue again. So what will save you? Company of the teacher. Sobh the sheikh. Keep coming back, broken heart, broken down, sit at the back, sit in the front. Don't leave the company. Then inshallah you'll refresh yourself and make yourself good again. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, third stage now. Today, inshallah, we're going to be here, maybe all night long. Okay, will you be sit here all night long? MashaAllah, Ramadan's coming, isn't it? So we have to start talking all the barakat of Ramadan are coming, so we start learning. Look, mashallah, how I've tricked you and sat you down today. For this reason, the barakat are here, Rajab has started. Mashallah, we'll have majlis like this, 4 hours long, inshallah, majlis. Will you sit 4 hours long? Mashallah. Yes, then all verses of Quran will recite and understand. So come back to the point. When this fight starts, it's called Mujahida. See, sometimes nafs on top, sometimes you're on top. But the nafs, your desire says, yaar, he doesn't leave the company of the teacher, I've lost now. He's not going to leave the... So the next stage, when he keeps fighting, eventually the student wins over the nafs. If wins, doesn't he, the student? Yes, batil goes and haq goes. Haqqul batil. Haq and batil. Yeah, truth and falsehood eventually one day comes. That same nafs-e lawama, because nafs-e amara, the base nafs, the low nafs, nafs-e lawama, regret, remorse, learn to do tawbah. This is nafs-e lawama. So when you fight constantly, clash, and you have the sawbah of the shaykh, then it becomes the higher level nafs-e mutma'inna, the high class student. High class student. Nafs-e mutma'inna. When the nafs-e mutma'inna comes about, what's this stage of this? What's the apparent and the effects? The color of this you realize at the time of death. When nafs-e mutma'inna, a person dies or gives his life for nafs-e mutma'inna, then he's in a different level. What happens? He says, subhanallah, irji'i. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, radiyatan mardiyya, oh my servant, Allah says, you've done very good things in your life. Nafsi ammara, you went to nafsi lawama, from nafsi lawama you came to nafsi mutma'inna. Now nafsi mutma'inna, now your time akhir has come. Now your Rabb is telling you, your Lord, your Creator, that you are successful today. Come towards me, come back to me, Allah says. Nafsi mutma'inna, with your nafsi mutma'inna, radiyatam mardiyya, Allah says. Oh Allah, Allah, you become happy with me and I become happy with you. Allah says, I'm happy with you and you are happy with me. Wadkhuli jannati, go enter into paradise, Allah says. Subhanallah. That's when the individual goes into paradise. That's the real destination he arrives to. So this is the path to go to paradise. This is the path. This is what we started with, isn't it? The discussion. The do good actions, and where will you arrive to? Jannah, paradise. So this is the good action that you have to do to get to paradise that we've discussed today. This tartib, this method, if you follow this method all your life long, alhamdulillah, the time will come death and you will hear, Ya ayyuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya. Allah says, go into paradise. I'm happy with you and you're happy with me. Go into paradise. Paradise is waiting for you. That's it. Your challenges stop, your testers stop, your challenges stop. I sent you for that mission, you are successful, and this is how long you lived your life. You were hungry, you had no clothes, it was poverty, but we didn't commit shirk. And what is shirk? We did not obey our nafs. We obeyed Allah and we followed Allah's instruction. Nafs said, do this. I said, I'm not going to do that. Nafs said, do this wrong. I said, I'm not going to do that. Who are we going to obey? Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to work hard on this. And Rajab has started. Right opportunity. This message has come to us from Allah. From today, let's start that work. That let's all analyze ourselves. Which level am I on? Am I nafsi amara? Am I nafsi lawama? Or am I nafsi mutma'inna? Because I've done mujahidat. So assess yourself where you are standing. Assess yourself. Self-assessment. Be honest. Do a self-assessment. And justly, because we're all going to die, we're all going to go to the grave, stand up honest, say, this is me, this is where I am, come to me, do mashwara with me, I'll help you, say, Hazrat, I have done my mujahida, I've analyzed myself, and I think I'm on nafsi lawama maybe still. What should I do now? So then inshallah the guidance will be there, the sheikh is there, I'll help you. That's why we are friends, so we can help each other. Yeah, be honest. In reality, assess yourself, do your self-assessment. That's your field, isn't it? Do tazriya, do analysis, assess yourself and speak to me. Say, I've assessed myself, I paid attention, these defects inside me, I'm in nafs-e lawama. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Who is ashamed today? He's lost. He's gone. Whoever is ashamed today, doesn't matter how big shot he is. Yes, people do make mistakes. So there are issues, problems that people face. Can commit mistakes. Don't think that I'm a big show, I've got a big title, I've got status, people think I'm this and this. And they say, aren't you ashamed? Don't be ashamed about anything. All of us are in the same playing field. Yes? So we're all standing at the same door. We're all on the same journey. You understand? So present yourself, discuss with your teacher, your sheikh. That's why the pious predecessors have said that always remember this point. The human being is improved who is close to his sheikh. If you are in Mashriq and your sheikh is in the south, what does that mean? What sort of preparation is that? The most fortunate person is that person whose sheikh is sat in front of him. Subhanallah. And his islah is taking place, his improvement is taking place. What a great achievement for that person. That is no hard work, nothing. That one, mashallah, piece of hard work Allah Ta'ala has eliminated, that he's given you a sheikh close to you, near to you. And even this happens, remember, that is not necessary that you have a sheikh, a teacher, and his fares is not right to you, that for example, he's far from you, distant, then it doesn't make any difference, because our deen is not to worship the sheikh. The objective is to do your islah, to rectify yourself. Yes, for example, you have a sheikh who physically lives in your town, near to you, he can do your islah physically. Yes, so make a connection with him. Yes, that the teacher will have, if you have another teacher, then that's fine. If there's someone nearer to you, make a connection with that person as well to get the benefit. So whoever you have a connection with, whoever you have an attachment with, whoever you have a love with, oh, that person's my teacher, he's my peer, mashallah, that's fine, carry on with that. But we are not narrow-minded or narrow-hearted. So that I'm not just going to give benefit to my own students, rather other people will come also, I'll help them as well. Yes, there's no problem with that. They shall ask you first, are you my murid, are you my student or not? I won't ask anybody. If somebody wants assistance, if a person is my student, he's my student, alhamdulillah. He's my colleague. But that's a different, strong relation. But if another person who is a link with another teacher, I respect his teacher, his sheikh, everything the same. But if that person presents himself to me and wants me to do this salah, maybe your sheikh's far, then come and present yourself and correct yourself, improve yourself. So there's not that your peer is being lost or your teacher is being lost. They're fine, whatever teachings he's given to you, carry on with that. Is that right or wrong what I'm saying? Yes, so the maqsad, the objective is that wherever you go, in whichever corner of the world you go to, don't forget your deen. Don't forget your destination. Remember this point. Islah, improvement, improvement, improvement. Fikr, concern, concern of the hereafter. This is what we should have all the time. Fikr, dunya behind us, fikr of the hereafter, in front of us. I'm going to die. I've got to go to the hereafter, permanent life in the hereafter, where we're going to live forever. Think about that always, every time. Yes, whether you live in Germany, Spain, wherever Allah Ta'ala sends you, Allah sends the human being. Wherever your destiny, rizq is, Allah, person goes there. But first and foremost, what you should find before the job, is there wali Allah here in this place I'm coming to? First and foremost, what do you need? Is that for the hereafter, is there wali Allah here, a sheikh here, a guide here? Okay, that's fine, I'll go there. Yes, then we can do other worldly things there as well. Okay? So let's do dua to Allah, let's pray to Allah, the Rajab and Shaban, Allah Ta'ala fills it with blessings, his fares, and Allah gives us good company, and Allah allows us to hear good words, and good deeds we should do so the barakat comes. The more barakat you collect now, all of these blessings will continue till Ramadan, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Recite the rishay.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المؤمنين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعملنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وشان في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم عافنا في قلبي لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله